It's been in the news all week, and almost half the people in Ireland, 48% of people, think that smartphones should not be allowed in schools all week. And of course, what has been in the news is stuff around child safety to do with phones and the ease with which predators can reach our kids online and all that kind of stuff. But what are the whole issues around protecting our children online? Why do they seem to be so vulnerable? What can be done? To discuss this now, I'm joined by Jess Kelly, Newstalk's tech correspondent and host of Tech Talks on Sunday evenings, as well as clinical psychologist Mark Smith. Jess and Mark, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to come to you first, Mark, if that's okay. Obviously, as I say, it's been a big news story all week, child protection online. Are we getting it wrong as parents? Are we getting it wrong as a society, allowing very young children, and bear in mind that the children who were in the case this week in the news had bought smartphones with their communion money. So we're talking about kids who are getting it at the age of 7, 8, 9, allowing them access, unfettered very largely, to the internet at that age.
I think the key word you use there, Ciara, is unfettered. We supervise our kids in almost every activity that they do in life. But sometimes, yes, we give them these phones and believe that it's just harmless entertainment, it'll be fine. But no, there is a reality that when they have access to internet, they have access to people who will do negative things like we saw in that case last week.
Okay. Jess, you're obviously, you know, a technophile and it's your bread and butter and you know more about it, I'd say, than the rest of us all put together. Not just myself and Mark, but just about everybody. The unfettered access. Why is it unfettered? There are lots of stuff that you can do by way of apps and things to protect your kids, you know, sort of firewalling them from certain things, limiting their time online, all that stuff. Parents aren't doing it.
They're not. But look, I want to just make one point and make it quite clearly as well that, you know, technology is an amazing thing in so many different ways. You know, I wasn't an academic kid. I wasn't an outgoing kid. I found my voice when I realised that I was good at technology. I could explain it. I could play around with it. I could break things. I could fix things. There are many young children across this country who are inventing amazing things with technology. So let's not just say down with technology. You know, if you look at what's happening in the US with the US gymnastic team this week, you know, those were very sporty kids who were exploited and targeted by someone that their parents trusted. So, I mean, there's an issue there as well. We can't, this isn't just a tech issue. This is an issue in society in general. And as you say, it's when the parents aren't standing in the room watching over the shoulder what's happening that something can go wrong. With technology, kids are getting phones younger and younger now. The reason that they want them is because we all have them. They see us with these things. They see us with tablets and they want their own ones. They don't want their own ones to bully another child or instantly to sext someone else. What they want is they want what we have. They want to play around with it. And it starts off quite innocently. The issue becomes when they go down the route of conversing with other people. Many of these apps, you know, there was the Kick app this week. There was the SimSimi one last year. They are built and designed to allow you to talk to an absolute stranger. And that's when the issue comes into effect here now. So I think that, you know, you're absolutely right. It's when parents hand over the device and stop the conversation. They don't check in with the kids to see what they're doing. They don't say, what are you doing there now? And not in an interrogational kind of way, but just in a, explain to me what's going on. I think you need to start a conversation with kids. The second you hand over a device, it's you have to have a contract with your child basically saying, I'm going to give you this. And we're going to talk once a week about what you've done, who you've checked with. You know, a colleague this morning was telling me last night she took her son's phone and went through the Instagram feed just to see who he was following and why they were following him. And she just culled loads of people because she's like, no. And it's just, that's a really healthy way of doing it, having that dialogue.
Here's a question for you though, Jess. You can't get an app on your phone without going to the app store. You can't get, you know, an app from the app store without having, I'm on Apple, so an iTunes account. I'm sure on Android there's some equivalent.
It's the same thing, yeah. The Gmail account, yeah.
So you have to have an account. Most children don't have the accounts. Most of the accounts actually are the parents' accounts. Should there not just be some very simple feature at that level that the parent knows every time a kid is downloading a new app and can decide and give permission at that point whether or not that app is suitable? Or is that just too basic?
That exists. That exists now. So the way it works, right, and this is something that is, again, it's all about knowledge. This entire conversation is about knowledge. And if you don't know something, please text into the show or please email me at any
stage. Yes, right now, because I don't know things clearly.
Do, but email and get in touch because I'm all for sharing this knowledge, right? So the thing is, if you give your child a phone, the first thing I would say you do is set up an email address for them that you have the password to. Don't let them change it. Don't let them have it. And then, as you say, you need that email address to download your apps, and anything that goes onto the phone is associated with that address. So you will be able to see, for example, if they download the Kick app, and you're not happy about that, you won't be able to see what they're saying within the Kick app. You'll just be able to see that they have it on their phone. And then you'll be able to say, look, I was just scanning through the account there and I saw that Kick is on your phone. What exactly does that do? How does that work? Can we have it? Like, show me how it works. I want to know
how
it works.
The reality of things like, and I'm going to bring you back in just one second more, but the reality of things like Kick is it's been in the news this week because that's the one of the social media platforms that was used in the case that was in the courts where a man was convicted for child exploitation and all that stuff. So we now heard of it. I'd never heard of the Kick app until this week, Jess. So if my kids had have said to me 3 weeks ago, I'm downloading the Kick app, I'd have gone, what's that? And they would have told me their own childlike version of it, which would have sounded fine, I'm sure. And I would have been none the wiser. Yet we know because they did it on the Sean Moncrief show. Niamh Hassel, who is one of our producers here, made an account on Kick this week for herself as a 13-year-old girl. And she showed me, actually physically showed me what was coming in on that app to her, which was appalling stuff. Adult men sending her photographs and videos of appalling stuff.
But Kira, like that, so Kick is one app and one example. But in 3 weeks' time, Kick is going to be gone and they're going to move on to something else. It's not about knowing every single app. It's about having the conversation and the familiarity with the different things. So whether it is like, you know, everyone's heard of Snapchat, everyone's heard of Instagram and Facebook. Kids aren't really using them now. But if you hear that your kid is using a phone, or if you see that they've downloaded a new app, why not download it onto your own phone and have a play with it? And why not learn how to hit block, how to hit mute, how to hit report, how to take a screenshot? Why not educate yourself in that way so that when then something does go wrong, your child will come to you saying, look, something weird happened on this. And you can say, OK, this is not a foreign language to me. I understand that I can screenshot this and send it to, you know, the Gardaí if that's applicable, or just keep track of this if it is bullying, for example. So I do think we're not as powerless as some parents might feel. And I don't envy parents right now, because it is a scary time to be a parent, but it's also a scary time to be a kid. So we need to acknowledge that too.
Mark, Jess is an expert and she's really comfortable in this whole area. Really, really comfortable. And I accept that there is no real excuse for parents not having half a clue if their kids are going to be online. I do accept that. But I don't think it's necessarily realistic to think that every parent is going to be flipping in and out of apps and juggling mutes and all this, because I don't think that they're going to necessarily have those skills. An awful lot of people don't. I don't think I have them myself. So we already say in this country that you can't drink till you're 18. You can't smoke till you're 16. Our young people are not allowed to take drugs at all. What is the reservation from putting some kind of limits in age terms on smartphone and internet usage and all that stuff for kids? Because we're worried about a few things here. We're worried about child safety online, but we're also, if you look at the study that was done again, that over half of parents believe, 64% of parents believe their child is addicted to their phone. So why are we giving something that the parents of phone users, over half of them believe their child is addicted, why are we putting it in their hands at the age of 7, 8, 9, 10? What's that about?
Okay, there's probably about 10 different things there I could answer there. I think first of all, I would actually echo and agree everything that Jess has said. I wouldn't agree in terms of the piece around parents and it being too difficult. Every parent knows how to use Google. If you type into Google the exact lines, what every parent needs to know about Kick, it will give you a one page synopsis of what it is, what it's used for and what the dangers are. So I don't think we should be disempowering parents that it's that hard. And like Jess said, if it's easy to be downloaded, Google it and find out what it is. You can ask the young person, but also be some independent yourself and check these things out. I think I would also agree that, you know, why do parents give these pieces to young people? Because sometimes they're educational, sometimes they're useful. I know my kids learned Jolly Phonics on the iPad and it was educational, it was fun, there was no internet access, there was no danger, and I put a time limit on when they could stop using it. So we have to get that right balance. When we talk about social media and internet and technology as a very negative thing, we demonize it and therefore we create a disconnect between us and the young people. So if they see something they're concerned about, they're less likely to talk to us about it.
Yeah, well, I accept that we push it underground.
You don't get it. Yeah. So therefore, I'm not going to talk to you about it. And we need open communication. That is the best possible thing we can use to protect our children, is if you see something you're concerned about, come and talk to me. But that's where the difficulty is as well. Because the greatest anxiety that young people I talk to have around their smartphone is, if I see something that I don't like or makes me upset and I tell my parent, they'll take my phone.
Mm-hmm. Is that really the greatest anxiety? Surely there's a far greater anxiety experience, Mark, by the likes of those kids that were hit on by that predator during the week, who was threatening them with blackmail, who was threatening to expose these inappropriate photos that he'd managed to coerce out of the kids, all that kind of stuff. That surely is a greater anxiety. Or surely the anxieties associated with cyberbullying is a greater anxiety. It seems to me that we as parents and we as a society are behind the curve all the time of dealing with this, and technology is racing ahead. I mean, Jess, you know fine well, because you've been off in Las Vegas and everywhere, there's a constant drive by an industry to expand and expand and expand. Same as the drinks industry, same as any industry. It wants to get bigger and richer. Parents are on the back foot. They're not able to keep up. They're not going to be able to keep up.
No, and look, I don't expect every parent in the country to have the same understanding of that. I get paid to do that. That's why I know this stuff. If I wasn't paid, I probably wouldn't know all the things I know. But what I want to say is, just in relation to the anxiety question, because I completely understand that kids fearing losing their phone more than someone saying something mean to them online. When I was in school, I remember it was all about the Pokemon cards. And, you know, if I didn't do my homework, my mum and dad were like, well, I'm taking those Pokemon cards off you. I can't go into school tomorrow without my Pokemon cards. And it was a point of stress, because it's the FOMO thing. If everybody else is online and, you know, having the chats on whatever app it is, I would rather, as a kid, I know this because I know young people in my life, they would rather have someone say that you look fat or you're stupid and deal with that, rather than going to mum and dad saying, I look fat or stupid, take my phone away from me.
Okay.
Because they'll miss out.
You've said something really interesting, Jess. You've said the fear of missing out if everyone else is online. That's surely the argument in favour of a blanket ban, that we shouldn't give any kid a smartphone till they're 16, or some arbitrary age that we decide is reasonable but in way of maturity, because the pressure comes from the peer pressure of, I need to be doing this because everyone else is doing it. And we had it in my own kid's school. My 11-year-old has come home and said, I need to get a phone. Everyone has a phone.
Yeah.
And I'm okay. I'm a parent who's okay with saying no. And if you're the only kid not doing it, still no.
Yeah.
You're going to have to toughen up around those things. But interestingly enough, in that parent's WhatsApp group, another parent said, does everyone have a phone? Because my kid is coming home and saying it, and I want to. And it turned out about 3 kids out of 30 had the phone. No other kids had the phone.
But it's
the kids were all saying they had the phone, but it was all nonsense.
It's the exact same thing with the Pokemon cards back in my day, as I say. You know, it's the same thing. But I think that, you know, I don't think a blanket ban will work. I don't think it's practical, because there'll be one little darling in the class who just has a phone anyway, and then that'll still, you know, if one person has it, they can still take photographs, they can still contact friends in another school. A blanket ban just won't work. Just because kids can't go into a shop and buy a phone doesn't mean they won't get one. I think if parents want to give kids a phone, you know, from a practical point of view, if you've got a long bus journey home or a long commute home, you can buy a dumb phone. The Nokia 3310 is back, you know, so if that's an easy solution. Again, it costs 80 quid. There's a very basic camera on it, not much memory. All you'll be doing is calling and texting. There are ways that we can keep our kids connected and engaged in technology without tarring it with this, you know, it's a dangerous, dangerous thing, because I think that is a bad thing as well.
One of our listeners is on the line who's rung in to talk about this. Tommy, you're very welcome to Lunchtime Live. What do you make of this debate about phones and safety and risk and all of those things?
I've been listening to it, and I'm nearly 60 years of age, but I just don't understand why a 9-year-old child needs a phone and needs access to an internet. And to compare an iPhone to Pokemon cards, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. You're not going to get a predator with coming around the school with Pokemon cards. You know, I think it's a very serious problem. And I think it also, it ruins a child. It doesn't give a child a chance to be a child. I see them all walking around in the park down here and everything else, and they're not talking to each other. There might be 4 or 5 girls, and they're all on the phone. You know, they're walking around. I just don't get it. And what the problem I see is that parents don't want to be parents anymore. They don't want to say no.
Mm. And, you're not wrong. I don't think you're wrong.
They want to be the child's pal instead of the child's parent.
Parents, it's called, Tommy. They call them parents because you want to be their peer rather than their parent.
Yeah, and I think it's this whole mobile phone and internet thing for children, I think, is very insidious, and I don't think people realise. And again, with all these apps and everything else, I mean, one might close down tomorrow. They're like the head shops, and another one will open up around the corner.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It's not fair to ask parents to patrol this, because they've enough to do and they just can't do it.
Okay. Thank you for that, Tommy. Thank you. Mark, can I bring you back in?
Yeah.
Like, you heard what Tommy said. Why should they have the internet? And there is a kind of an argument around that. I understand the educational stuff, and you're talking about Jollyphonics and all that stuff. I get that the internet is like anything else. You can use it for good and you can use it for bad. There's so many things like that. But do we really believe that the benefits outweigh the negatives, that outweigh the risks? Do you know what I mean? Can we really hand on heart say that our kids are better off, all of them, having the phone in the back pocket, looking at themselves all the time, taking the selfies, being at risk of cyberbullying, being at risk of predators, being up half the night? We know things like stupid little things, like the fact that kids in the 60s went to bed and slept for 9.5 hours. Kids nowadays sleep for 6.5 hours. That's all to do with social media. Like, surely on balance, we're getting this arseways, really.
The honest answer, we don't know. The research hasn't caught up. There isn't enough research to say that it's good or bad. And certainly the research that was out before about screen time, they've now shown that that was completely out of date. But I think there's a bigger point here, because we're talking about young people and they're on their phones and they're walking along and they're not talking and making eye contact. You go to any DART, any bus, any morning walking in the street, you'd see adults doing the exact same thing.
Exactly.
So we can be a little bit hypocritical when it comes to young people saying you shouldn't do it, it's bad for you, as we're on our phones.
But then the argument is, should we let young people drink at 10 and 11 because adults drink? And if it's fine for kids to do the why can't we have one rule for kids and one rule for adults? When did that become a thing we couldn't have?
But Ciara, the issue is that we don't know how technology is impacting us as adults, right? I'm 28 years of age, mm-hmm. and on Monday afternoon I left work and I turned my phone off because all the notifications were literally giving me palpitations. I was freaking myself out because I didn't get back to tweets in time and I had too many emails coming in to answer. We don't know as adults how to manage technology. So how can we then parent and tell our kids this is right, this is wrong, and that's how it is? This is a conversation that needs to happen across the board. Parents and teachers, I go around schools and I talk to parents of first year children who are terrified of, you know, do I give them a smartphone, that kind of stuff. And what I get is that neither parents nor teachers want to fully accept the responsibility for educating our kids how to behave online. I have a 3-year-old niece and I tell her to say please, I tell her to say thank you, I'm teaching her how to tie her laces. Who is teaching our kids how to behave online?
But Jess, you've just made another argument in favour of a ban, because you're saying you're a grown adult woman getting palpitations because of being hit with loads of notifications online. But you're grown, you're adult, you're mature. Like, if you were 13 getting loads of notifications, particularly if you're in the middle of some kind of social media frenzy, and we know this has happened, we know that there have been children who have harmed themselves or indeed gone further and taken their own lives because of the crap they have received online. Sure, I just think that comes back to what I just said to Mark. We don't have to have the same rules for children and adults.
No, we don't. But I don't think a ban is the way to go, because not every child that has a phone is either sexting, cyberbullying or being cyberbullied. So to blanket everything by the same rule, I just don't think is fair. I think what you should do is, nobody knows their own child better than a parent. So I think if parents can judge what the right age for their child is to have a phone and then continue the dialogue. But we need to have a wider conversation in terms of the education system and parenting to ensure that everybody is passing the same message on to children, and then they'll grow up into adults who hopefully won't have palpitations on a Monday afternoon because they've got 57 emails.
But also, we have rules that children shouldn't drink before they're 18. But we do know reality is 15 and 16 year olds are still getting access to alcohol. So prohibition doesn't work, education does.
Okay, well, we have somebody else, one of our listeners on the line, Monica, who is a school liaison officer, on to us now too. Monica, what do you make of this debate? Are we doing enough to protect our kids? Could we be doing more? Should we just all be upskilling ourselves about technology, or should we be bringing in bigger restrictions or sanctions?
I think a little bit of everything, to be honest with you. I think it's really hard on parents out there, because look, I'm a parent, and my son is grown now, and I'd love to upskill, but first of all, I'm working full-time, and I'm not able to upskill to the degree that our kids are upskilled. They have it, they use it every single day. As much as we would talk, they use social media. So I think it's a little bit of everything. Yes, I do think that parents have forgotten the ability to say no, and I don't mean just a nasty no, I'm a parent, you can't have, that's the end of the story. I do think communication is a huge, huge issue here. And I would see probably about 1,000 students. I'm in and out of schools in Dublin and the east coast of Ireland, if you like, every single day of the week. That's my job. I am a school liaison officer, and I go in giving anti-bullying talks, self-confidence talks, that kind of thing. And it's so in demand, it's ridiculous, because this is a huge issue. I don't think... someone there, I don't remember who it was, made a really interesting point. They said, if a child is being told they're fat or they're ugly or whatever, they are much less likely to tell their parents that this stuff is coming in on their phone if the threat is there that the phone will be taken from them. So now we've just blocked communication because they have a fear that they'll have to do without their social media. So we need to address that. And I think maybe communication, before anything ever happens, to sit with our kids and say, OK, here's what can go on out there, without scarifying small kids. Here's what can go on out there. If anything comes, I want to make you a promise. I'm not just going to take your phone, but we'll have a conversation about what we can do, what you'd like to see happen, what I'd like to see happen to keep you safe. But I'm not just going to confiscate your phone. And I think we'd have a lot more kids coming to us with their issues and with the problems or whatever's coming through on their phones if that was the case.
Okay.
There's a couple of things that I talk to students about. It's really interesting. I do these kind of mini surveys for myself. And I would stand in front of any group from 50 to 100 kids twice, three times a day. And one of the things I'll say is, how many of you have checked your safety settings on your phones or laptops in the last 3 months? You'll maybe get one or two putting a hand up, but most of them look blankly at each other and go, safety settings. So we need to address that.
Yeah.
I don't know of anyone, I could be wrong because I've not asked the teachers, but I would love to see experts going around to schools explaining simply, get your phones out, everybody. This is a session where you all can have your phones. Take them out. Right, here's step one, two, and three. Change your password. Here's how easy it is. Let's all do it together. Now, do that every so often or whatever. And it's a little practical thing. That's not happening.
Yeah.
Also, our students are, they're afraid. They're afraid to talk. It's one of the things that I will discuss with them at length. They are afraid if anything is happening. They're afraid it'll get worse. By opening their mouth, that it will get worse.
Yeah, no, and that was always the fear around bullying, that if you told, it would get worse.
Yeah,
that's not new.
Yeah, and my aim when I'm in school is I'm never going to get rid of the bullied, and I'm never going to get rid of the bully overall. That's always going to be there. However, I do think if we can somehow talk with the 98% who are just carrying on during their day and just surviving or getting on with their mates or whatever and don't see it, or if they see it, they're afraid. They're the two main things that I see in schools. They either see it and they're afraid or whatever. But I do think conversation and dialogue is key, and early, not when it happens.
Thank you for that there, Monica. Ruth, one of our listeners, is on the line too. Ruth, what do you make of this? You have small kids yourself.
Hi, Ciara. How are you? Thanks for having me. Yeah, I have small kids who aren't in school yet, but I have spoke about this subject with fellow parents who do have kids in school. I definitely think there should be a blanket ban on smartphones in school. I don't think children in primary schools need phones whatsoever, while in secondary school, parents have argued that they may need to contact their children about getting home and whatnot. So I say, why not bring in a Nokia or a simple phone that just allows texts and voice calls? And I think it should be school policy. It should be almost on the end of a book list that if your child must have a phone in school, it should have X, Y, and Z tech specs, no internet connection. And I think that would solve a huge problem. Bullying aside, I just think they're a huge distraction in the classroom.
Absolutely. No, thank you for that, Ruth. Can I just finish up with you, Mark? You heard what Monica there was talking about, that kids will go underground if they think that the bullying might escalate if they speak. And that's always been the way. But what that highlights to me is that kids don't always know what's good for them. They simply don't. Always it's better if we know our children are being bullied, but often the instinct of the bullied person is to keep quiet about it. So we can't presume kids know what is good for them. Equally, I heard somebody actually on air on a different show this morning talking about the fact that they were getting a smartphone for their child. They had told him that he was going to get one in a year's time when he was a certain age, but then that they had been looking at all the stuff this week, and they had played for him a podcast of something that had turned the child off the idea of a smartphone, and now the child was agreeing not to get one, and the parent was pleased. And I thought to myself listening, so in other words, once the child has decided he's okay not having one, they're not going to get it. But if he had not changed his mind, they would have still gotten the phone for him. It still boils down to parents needing to parent here. And it isn't all about upskilling. Some of it is about calling what's appropriate and not appropriate from our kids. And it appears to me there's a fear around doing that.
Could not agree more. It's about setting those boundaries. And Jess made that point earlier on, is if you're giving the phone, here's the expectations, when you can use it, how long you can use it for, and if there's an infraction, when it'll be gone, and how long it'll be gone for. But unfortunately, when something negative happens, parents panic. They get anxious. That's understandable. And the phone is gone. When am I getting it back? We'll see. That creates more anxiety, anger, resentment. And as a young person said to me once, you know, even murderers who go to Mountjoy know when they're getting out, but they have their phone and it's gone and they don't know when it's getting back. So they have really clear, consistent boundaries that you consistently enforce and keep the communication lines open.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to is maybe still having a below a certain age that they don't exist. I know I've spoken to David Coleman, who's like yourself, another a psychologist, and his thing is if you don't want your 13-year-old to look at porn, don't give him a phone or her a phone, because the minute you give them the phones, that's what happens. There's no way around it. And you need to decide what age you're willing to let your kids do these things at, because once they have the phone, it's going to happen.
Kira, there are ways around it. Like, the thing is, it comes down to parental control, parental supervision. I don't buy that anymore. I think there are ways around it. We just need to educate ourselves. And I think, I know you have the Minister for Education on later on. I would love to see a blanket rule for schools coming into effect about how to treat school, like as your caller said, their school policy. That's where I'd like to see blanket information, not necessarily in terms of when kids can have smartphones.
All right. I doubt this is the last we're going to hear of any of this. My sincere thanks there, Jess Kelly, News Talk's text correspondent and host of Tech Talks, and Mark Smith, clinical psychologist. Thank you so much for coming in and talking about this really, really important issue. And do keep your texts coming. I'll be getting to more of them in a little.